Good morning. Thank you, Harvey, for that interesting introduction. Today's share is sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas Azriel Ben Aryeh HaKohen, which is Dr. Edward Honig, by the Honig family. Thank you very much for dedicating, and the share and the learning should be a schus L'Zecher Nishmaso. Zirutzeit is this week. Today's topic was actually suggested to me by one of the participants of the share. Happens to be that circumstance had it that he cannot be here today, but I'm sure he's listening somewhere. And it really does make sense that this is a topic that should be addressed. Following, it's really just 2 weeks. Seems so much longer, but it's just 2 weeks away from, as we talked about, the most tragic attack against Jews here in this country, in the history of this country. And the response from everybody, I guess you'd say from the top down, the president, the first thing he talked about, was security. And what would have been if they had inside the synagogue an armed guard or a person who was able to use a gun? And although today's share would not be exclusively about firearms, but the concept that we want to talk about in today's share, I think we titled it Shabbos Shalom Security, Exploring Options in a Dangerous World. Shabbos Shalom Security sounds like a good name for a company. But really, probably a little peace of mind that all of us had was definitely shaken and maybe even taken away from this attack. So there are lots of reactions that, okay, you have to protect yourself. If you're a target, then you have to protect yourself. So I'd like to talk in depth about that concept in general. We'll go through practical things, perhaps, one could do for protection, and explore it all. Really, I think this week's parsha is the perfect springboard to talk about this. The famous Chazal that when Yitzchak is, deliberating, giving the brachos to Esav, and what's in front of him seems like Esav, but he's not sure. Yaakov utters the words, Yitzchak utters the words, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, but the hands feel like Esav. And there's multiple drashas that our Chazal learn from this pasuk, from this quote of Yitzchak. Obviously, not the simple intention of Yitzchak when he uttered those words. One of those drashas are that there's a balance between the Jewish people and the children of Esav. Jewish people have a special power of connecting to Hashem through davening, through tefillah, through limud Torah. Jews have the power of their mouths. As opposed to Esav and his descendants, they have the power of the yadayim, of the hands, of the sword, and they're powerful people. And history has borne, Jews have suffered much, under the crusades of the children of Esav. And our Chazal teach us that it's a balance. If the Kol Kol Yaakov is strong, then you don't have to worry about Yadayim Yidei Esav. You don't have to worry about the powers Esav has. But if Jewish power is weak, then one has to be nervous of the Yadayim Yedei Esav. And unfortunately, we've seen both sides of it. And throughout the ages, you know, much blood has been spilled. But some people take this idea in Chazal, I think, a little bit too far. Some people say, look, Jew has the power of the mouth. And of course, it's true that whatever we have tremendous chosim from our tefillos, from our limud Torah. But people go as far as saying, look, you know, it's not Jewish to fight back. It's not Jewish to own the gun. It's not Jewish. That's Yadayim Yedei Esav. There are those who espouse such ideas. Pashtus has no clear chazal that supports it. And really, there's a counter yesod that the Gemara itself spells out. The idea of Jewish self-defense is practically a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. If you look on your sheets, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Haba b'machteres. Machteres is not an easy word to translate. I was just talking in my share this week about different phrases. You can't just give a simple definition. So machteres is a case that someone's trying to kill somebody else. So the din is nidon al shem sofo. He judged it based on the end. The Gemara explains exactly what that means. Amar Rava, my time of the machteres. Chazaka ino mayim min atzmo mamono. You have a case. You have a bandit. He comes to mug. Let's make it even, unfortunately, a Jewish bandit. Reuven comes to mug Shimon. Comes to attack him. So the bandit was coming to attack him, understands, look, I'm trying to steal his money. Money is meaningful to a person. So the reaction of some people might be to fight back. Once you fight back, get into a fight, I can end up killing him. So the Gemara understands, Gemara says it out beferish, v'meimar amar, y'azli kala'ape, I'm coming against this other person. Vlo shavikli, he won't allow me. Vikaila aple katlinale. I might kill him. Vatora amra in barla hargacha hashke maharga. The Gemara is spelling out this chain of events. If I go to commit a crime, I go to rob somebody, I know there's a chance I'm going to find resistance. So I, the robber, I, the attacker, in the back of my head, know, okay, you know, I better be prepared for a fight. That being so, it means I'm already thinking about, I want to get out of there. No trouble. But I there's an option. I might have to fight my way out. The police come. That's it. Right? We're going to have some issues. So slept. So so what do you do? So the mentality of a person involved in such treachery obviously might come to killing a person. So the Jewish person who is a potential victim over here, he knows, look, the guy's trying to kill me. He might kill me. I have to fight back. Habar lo hargacha hashkim v'hargo. The Torah says, someone's trying to kill you, you do a preemptive strike. The Israeli army uses this quite well. Someone's trying to kill you, 100% Torah sanctioned. Habar lo hargacha, this is human nature. Hashkim v'hargo. The Torah so much considers this an option. The Gemara already plays up and talks about that this mugger, this potential attacker, already has a chi of misa on his head. Because he's going to attack the other person is going to fight back. So he's really chai of misa. If he does something else, the Gemara gets involved with halachas of kimli, but the rabba mine, you could potentially exempt him from other things because he already has a chi of misa on his head. So the Gemara here is assuming quite clearly that when somebody comes to attack somebody else, the assumption is you're going to fight back. Gemara doesn't say, oh, that's a bad option, you know, take it on the chin. No, this is human nature. Habara lahargacha hashkin vahargo. If someone's coming to kill you, in American law, in different legal systems, you might be in trouble. Someone comes to your house to mug you and you just, you know, shoot him. Okay, but if there's a threat to a person's life, it's different. Habara lahargacha hashkin vahargo. That's what the Gemara says. So that means that, you know, Rachmanu Litzlan, we don't want to be in such a situation. But if Chas Hashem, a person finds himself in a situation where there's a threat in the person's life, of course, again, within means and smart decisions of what to do and how to do it, but of course, a person shouldn't just take it, you should fight back. That's a different story. Different story. Now, I was thinking about this topic in general, and then I was thinking about the response that everyone has to terrorist attacks. And the most common phrase you'll find from leaders, secular, anywhere, after a terrorist attack is, look, we don't want the terrorists to win. We're going to continue to go about our business the same way, obviously with more vigilance, but we're not going to let them dictate how we live our lives. That's the most common refrain you'd find as a response after an attack. So I was thinking in the Jewish world, we really need a secondary response. And it's a very important secondary response. Yes, we're going to continue to live our lives the same way, and we're not going to be threatened by the terrorist. But it's also very important that we don't change our lives al pi halacha just because we're threatened by a terrorist. Meaning that obviously when there's an attack, when there's a threat, people get emotional. There's an emotional response. People are scared. People are frightened. Especially in a situation, something happened to you. And okay, I'm not letting this happen again. But we have to live our lives the same halachic way we were living our lives before the attack. And really, any ideas of what we can do to protect ourselves has to be gauged, has to be measured through halacha. Is this something halachically that's acceptable or not? If we fail to live our lives the same way that we lived before the attack, then we're letting the terrorists win. The terrorist, or in this part, you know, there's always something evil, Yetzirah, something involved in the world, but they want us to get off our game. And the same way a Jew lives his life pre the attack, al pi halacha, it's really after the attack. It's true. We have to measure everything al pi halacha. And that's why I think it's critical that I talk about this today. Because, you know, we asked Shilohs to rabbis about chickens, talked about last week, when to say Kaddish, when does Avelos begin. But really these things too are issues that a person has to feel comfortable discussing with their halachic authority and speaking it out. Because everything in life, you know, is governed by halacha. And especially something like this, which potentially, you know, is pikuach nefesh, on the one hand, or chas v'shalom, could be the cause of an unwanted death. On the other hand, is a very serious business. And, you know, the same way that a person, you know, before he gets a gun, and at least in this country, there are laws that you have to go through to get it, well, their Torah also has laws. And that's something people have to keep in mind with this. That being said, today's share, I don't really want to focus on the halachic right. Is it right or wrong for a person to own a gun? That's not the topic of today's share. really because of the fact it's so nuanced and so difficult. There's so many different scenarios. If you're a retired cop, if you used to be a criminal defense lawyer, if you had bad blood once with a business partner, these are all different scenarios than the average guy who's afraid because he sees on CNN a terrorist attack. That's a little different. And really, when you discuss a shiloh of why in my life should I have a gun or not have a gun, is something which every aspect of your personal life, of your whole situation, makes for a different shiloh. It's not a black and white answer for every person. It's different. It's nuanced. And that's why I'm not going to talk about the general shiloh in halacha, should a Jew own a gun? There are situations, of course, you're living, you know, in Male Adumim, living out there in Israel, right? You better have a gun. We're not talking about that. We're also not talking about, should a person be living in a place? Yeah, there are all these different scenarios and a very, very complicated situation. So today's share, I sort of want to bypass that issue. Should a person own a gun or not? I'm assuming when I'm talking about a gun vis-a-vis Shabbos security, we're already past that first stage. That a person asked a shayla, a person has his rabbinic license, not just his secular license, to have a gun. And okay, we're working past that. Now I must say, you know, I know of multiple situations of people that, you know, don't ask questions when it comes to a gun. Other rabbis don't get it. The rabbis know. Right. That's perfect. Shoot first, ask questions later. Yes. Well put. But really, as we said before, a gun is a very, very big shiloh. You know, it's a big deal. You know, having a gun in one's house, you know, there are many things that could go wrong, many things which are not simple about it. You know, it's a whole different lifestyle. Once a person has a gun, you know, it definitely affects and changes a lot of things. So that's a big shiloh. And I'm not here today to address it. You know, we could talk. I could send you to people that might have the guts, shoulders, or the holsters to paskin such things. But today's share is already assuming that a person asked a shiloh. Now a person has a gun. Okay, let's take it forward. Can you carry a gun on Shabbos? Or as we'll talk about soon. Now, in preparing for this share, I also spoke nice and pretty lengthily with a very chush of a posek on these topics. And the most basic question I asked him is, here, I spoke to him just on Thursday, and I said, you know, basically within 2 weeks of this, you know, biggest attack in American history against Jews, did anything halachically change that now I should be weighing new factors? Now, kuli amo lo pligi, it's pashut. If a person's in a situation of pikuach nefesh, if chas v'shalom, you know, there is an active shooter, then there's no question you use whatever means possible to stop the killer. There's no question about it. No shilas. Your gun, someone else's gun. You know, so, you know, in halacha, you know, they discuss, you know, let's say you forgot your tefillin at home. Do you have a right to use your friend's tefillin that are in shul without asking his permission? Right? That's a shiloh in regular daily things. If your friend happened to leave a gun in shul and is an active shooter, you don't have to discuss a shiloh, right? You're allowed to use his gun, maybe assuming that you know how to use it, and maybe assuming that you're not going to do more damage by using it. But of course, you know, we're not talking about situations of pikuach nefesh. That we're not talking about. We're a few steps removed. We're talking about air. We're living in America. The world today is a different, you know, is a dangerous place. So how do we view this situation? So this posik said to me, he's been asked this multiple times already in the past 2 weeks, and he thinks, al pi halacha, in terms of defining it, you wouldn't yet call, chas v'shalom, call America, shchiach hezekah. It's not common for such things. Unfortunately, we all know the statistics are rising for anti-Semitic incidents. But to say to the degree it's already shchiach hezekah, he says, I don't think it's that. It's not shchiach hezekah. Unfortunately, it's happening. It's happening in a greater frequency, perhaps, than in years past. And it's alarming. But shchiach hezekah is a certain level of understanding. It's common for damage. It's not shchiach hezekah. It's not. So although we have to be vigilant, although we have to improve our infrastructure, our security, but in judging Hilchos Shabbos, if something's shchiach hezekah, then, yeah, you might be able to walk in the street in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim holding a gun on Shabbos because you're afraid you're going to be attacked. Yes. If it's a scenario where it's common, right? You're living right by Arabs, and if you're not constantly armed, they're going to take advantage of you and they're going to attack you. So in such a scenario, that's shchiach hezekah. That's common for damage to happen, or obviously worse than damage. And thus, a person could take all the precautions to be fully ready to be engaged for a fight. But we're not at that level here in America. I didn't press him to ask him, if I lived in France, in some areas over there, would you call that shchiach hezekah? I was asking about America. In terms of America, Baruch Hashem, God bless America, we are not at a level which we say it's common for such a thing. However, at the same time, we know these things happen, and of course, nishmartim nafso seichem, a person has to watch their health, not just their health, their well-being, everything, their safety. Of course, we should take precautions, and of course, we should up our game on all these things. But to think that we're in a situation where it's super dangerous, it's shchiach hezekah, it's common for such a thing to happen, that this posuk I asked the shayla to said no, it isn't. Now, hopefully that gives people a certain sense of reassurance. Obviously, you know, all these things are a measure of seeing the practical halacha, balancing it with you know, ideas of bitachon, of faith in Hashem, and what's right and what's wrong. It's all very, very complicated things. But that being so, let's discuss the topic about carrying a gun on Shabbos. Now, I'll refer people, Rabbi Sharfman, this is actually one of the last shiurim he gave. In preparing for the shiur, I listened to the entire shiur. Number 238 talked about the general concept of bringing a gun to shul. And he dealt with their potential problems of just the act of bringing a gun to shul. And within the share, he touched upon this concept of carrying a gun on Shabbos. But I think it's a perfect share that goes in line with what we're talking about over here. But on the basic concept of carrying a gun to shul, what I want to talk about is Hilchos Shabbos. Can one carry a gun to shul on Shabbos? Now, I'm, for the most part, addressing a situation, to begin with at least, where there is an Erev, and one would be allowed to carry in his neighborhood a gun. Where there is no Erev, that's much more complicated, and that's not really what we're going to talk about today. I'm talking about North Miami Beach, I'm talking about Boca, I'm talking about Hollywood, where we have Erevim, and there are guns. Can we carry those guns to shul on Shabbos? So really, yes, assuming there is an Erev, can one carry a gun to shul on Shabbos? So, yes.
If you're wearing a holster, maybe the Aruch doesn't matter because you're wearing it as opposed to carrying it to start with.
So I would like to, if you look at the back of your sheets, we're not up to there yet because I haven't barely started. Right. I'm not sure I'll get there to 941. But if you look at the back of your sheets, it's an extremely long tshuva for Moshe, but a fascinating tshuva. I put in the sheets, just it's very interesting if someone will have the time to read it, where Moshe Feinstein actually deals with the idea of a situation where there is no Erev, carrying a gun, is that allowed? And he talks about, perhaps, is a gun a sign of pride? Is an ornament type thing that a person has. And, right, obviously he's talking in a scenario, people see your gun, not the concealed gun that no one would see. But he talks about that perhaps a gun is even a means of a person, you know, looking like a tough person. He compares it at one point to a doctor walking around with a stethoscope around his neck, right? When you're a young doctor, you know, you love running around everywhere with your scrubs and this, you know. After all the years of schooling, I finally made it. So it's also a means of pride. So they make us wear ties and kolo, for the record. But okay. So, yes, right. This shayla that Moshe discusses is together with the idea of a hatzala person carrying his radio on Shabbos, and discussing is that also, you know, a badge of pride that they wear. It depends which neighborhood, but okay. So, really, the question of a gun forces us to discuss the halachas of muksa on Shabbos. Now, let's go over basic overview. The din of muksa, for the most part, are takanas, are dinin derabbanan, which are chazal, even going way back, made to basically enable us to keep Shabbos better. Multiple different things they're afraid of. They're afraid of people carrying things into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and being over on a serious da'araisa of carrying on Shabbos. They're afraid in general of people being too involved in their mundane worldly matters on Shabbos. So Chazal basically, the Rabbanim put Isurim of Muksa on many, many objects. Many, many objects are Muksa. And really, you know, those Yisurim are pretty serious Yisurim. I found, for example, there's a Tosus in Sukkah, Slam and the Vavim and Beis, that Tosus comes out, this is not the opinion of everybody, but Tosus, at least over there, comes out, that Muksa is even more Chumer than the regular Isra Drabanan. An Isra Muksa would be even worse than an Isra of Carmelis, so an Isra of carrying in certain scenarios, which is not a Doraisa violation, not a Torah violation of carrying on Shabbos. We made a Din Derabbanan. But the Isra Muksa is even more Chumer than that, according to some Shitas. So Muksa is something which is a black and white halacha, which we have to be careful with. It's a Chumer Isra. Now, there are some things which are not Muksa altogether. But most Kalim, most objects, fall into different categories. I'm not going to go through all the categories of muksa today. What I'd like to discuss is primarily two categories. The concept of a kli shemalachto le'iser, an object, a utensil that you use for things which is prohibited on Shabbos, versus a kli shemalachto le'heter, an object that you use for things which is permitted on Shabbos. Now, before we define exactly what these cases are, let me go through the halacha. If you look on your sheets, this is Shulchan Aruch, Or Chaim, Simon Shin Ches. We find most of the halachas of Muksa on Shabbos. Kli shemalachto le'iser, a utensil that you mainly used for things which is prohibited on Shabbos. Mutter l'taltalo, it would be permitted for you to use it, skipping the parentheses, to move it. Bein l'tzarech gufo, if you're using it for the object itself in a permissible way. You go on karnom shel zahavim, napachim l'poseya b'olagozim. Right? We'll talk about this in a moment. But you have a hammer. Right? You can't bang in a nail to finish off a project or anything on Shabbos. That would be malacha. Right? You can't finish off your chair or your table banging a hammer on Shabbos. However, you know, you have some walnuts. You want to crack them. You go to your toolbox, you take out a hammer, bang away. That would be permitted on Shabbos. Because that usage of that kli, even though that kli is a kli shemalachtal iser, and normally you can't just touch a hammer on Shabbos. You can't show your friend, hey, check out my new hammer I got. Now I'll touch it, and I'll move it on Shabbos. However, if you're using it though, letzarech gufo, you're using this object for permitted use, then one is allowed to touch it on Shabbos, move it on Shabbos. Or the second qualification, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch continues, being the tzarech mekomo, you need the spot where that object is. You need to use the spot where the kli is in. So those are two permitted uses of a kli shemalachta le'iser on Shabbos. So again, a hammer is the classic example of a kli shemalachta le'iser. In fact, there's a song and it talks about Shabbos. So it says, so put away your hammer. Right? Time to say good Shabbos. Yes. So, a hammer, short range. A hammer is a classic example of a kli shemalachta le'iser. Now, I have to tell you this story. I remember one time, I first got married with my wife for Shabbos to her cousins in Lakewood. And my wife's cousin was married to a kol guy that's sitting and learning in Lakewood. So I remember we brought them a nice bottle of wine. Nice bottle of wine. Bring the bottle of wine. So the husband's like, oh, I have to open it. He goes to his toolbox. The guy takes out a hammer and a flathead screwdriver and come to the table. I'm thinking to myself, this is not so yeshivish. Right? What's he picking up a hammer on Shabbos? What's he doing? But he actually is quite yeshivish. He doesn't use corkscrews. This guy is quite handy. Took a hammer and a flathead screwdriver and budged out, perfectly took out the cork, nothing left in the bottle. You know, we all gave him, you know, a standing ovation. But that's a perfect example. You could use a hammer on Shabbos for permitted usage. A hammer and a screwdriver right there in the middle of Lakewood, 100% mutter on Shabbos. That's this example. A kli shemalachta le'iser is permitted. The tzarech gufo. By Shafran, you object? Huh? Ah, very important halacha, correct. Really, this idea, right? Let's get some, yeah. Really, this idea of a kli shemalachta le'iser being used on Shabbos, halachos muksa really dictate that's only if you don't have a kli shemalachta le'heter or something else which is better to use. So if the person would have had a corkscrew, I assume he didn't because he just loved having fun with us, right? If you have a corkscrew, then you have to use your corkscrew. I'm sorry, you should not be taking out your hammer and your screwdriver. Yes. But a kli shemalachta le'iser, that's a perfect example, could be used at tzarech gufo. If you look in Halacha Dalid, the Mechaber writes, kli shemalachta le'heter. If you have a kli which is normally used for permitted purposes, right? Your pillow is a kli shemalachta le'heter. It's a utensil, it's something that you use for permitted purposes. You're 100% allowed to sleep on Shabbos, recommended. So that would be a kli shemalachta le'heter. A chair, you're allowed to sit on Shabbos, Another example of a kli shemalach de laheter, and it will be mutter to move on Shabbos. It's mutter l'tatal afil enu al tzarcha kli, even if you're doing it just for the kli's purpose of itself. It shouldn't get broken or stolen. Al shalom tzarcha klal is also l'tatal. It's an important halacha, people don't know this, is that kli shemalach de laheter, really, you can't just space out and play with it on Shabbos. You know, you constantly, you know, you have people that, you know, when they're spaced out, they start playing with things and they start, like, you know, moving chairs backwards and forwards. You can't do that for no reason. If there's a reason, right? If there's a reason you need it, or even if you don't need it, for the safety, you know, of the object itself, you can move it. But just to move it for no reason, just because you're bored, unless you want to tell me being bored is a big reason. But that's a kli shemalach de laheter. Now, we have basically two categories of kelim. Kelim which are kli shemalach de laiser. We also have kelim which are malach de laheter, normally used for permitted usage. Then we have two categories in between. Let's say you have something that is used for both. I equally use this object for things which are mutter and aser. So there the halacha writes, it's Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Chaf, Vu adin hoi melach to l'isr ulu heter, gam kein lo makatsa daita mimeno. Something which is a kli shemalach to l'isr ulu heter is used for both Heter and Isser, then that's Mutter. There's a fourth scenario. Okay, so I have something which is used only for Isser, something used only for Heter, something used for both. But another one. What about something which is used, let's say, I use for both, but maybe I mainly use it for something Isser. It's Rov Tashmish Ol Isser. So there it's a little tricky. The Mishnah Brura comes out that if you mainly use something for Isser, though you also sometimes use it for Mutter purposes, the Mishnah Brura writes earlier in Yud, Vafilim rak rov malachtel Isser gamke mechalze, he says that it's Aser. But if you look in the Bir Halacha they have there, which is number Gimel, there the Chavetz Chaim is not sure. He actually says he's mesupik about it and leaves it tzarech in. Because why can't we say that since part of the time I use it for permitted purposes, so my mind is still on there, that's not muksa, that's not put aside, not set aside, and therefore that would be okay. So basically, it comes out, there's two major categories, a kli shemalach de laiser. That has limited use on Shabbos. You could only use a kli shemalach de laiser, letzarech gufo, for a permitted purpose, or if you need the spot where that keli's, the object is. Kli shemalach de laheter, that you are able to use for the most part on Shabbos. So the question begs, what is a gun? Is a gun a kli shemalach de laiser? Is this a object that you use for things which is also to use on Shabbos? Or is it kli shemalach de laheter? Something that's used for permitted purposes on Shabbos. If it's a kli shemalach de laiser, then we're going to have some problems potentially. Then one may not be able to use it on Shabbos. How can you walk around carrying something that's muksa?
You need the thing itself. It's kli shemalach de laiser.
Yeah.
When you're using it for
a heter purpose.
Okay.
I think that the goal of using the gun is firing the bullet, and the goal of the bullet is to pierce through something which would be tearing. Therefore, it's goal is for an iser, not for a heter.
Okay. Good. Oh, if we're in a scenario of pikuach nefesh, there ain't no problems with muksa. Right? You pull that gun out. No problem. Get the gun. But, right, we're not talking in a Bikurach Nefesh situation. Really, the way we set up today's share, was in a scenario like we have today, where there is danger, it's not pikuach nefesh, not even shchiach hezekah. Can I walk on the street for preventive measures? Last resort. It's interesting, preparing to share, I did a lot of research in halacha, in practicality. Somebody told me that someone in this neighborhood carries a gun specifically only on Shabbos. Why does he carry it specifically only on Shabbos? No, no. Not a Shinoi, not a Shabbos guy. He has a very... He's fearful of attacks. He says, when are those attacks going to come? The random day, right? We have to be most worried on Shabbos when there's the biggest congregation, people are congregating, they know it's our Sabbath. So this person, during the week, doesn't carry a gun. He specifically carries a gun on Shabbos. Now, I'm not giving out a psak on that, particularly, yet. But, you know, different people have different, you know, ideas. So what do we say? What is a gun? Is it Kli Shemalach Tola Isser or Kli Shemalach Tola Heter? Oh, we'll talk about that case too. Right? But Shafran brought it up. If you have a gun which is inside your house, as someone mentioned to me before, locked up in a vault, in a gun cabinet and a safe, which that's where it should be in your house. So there it's interesting. If you don't have it on you, and you have it locked up, and again, in a situation which is not Shechech HaZeka, then in that situation, it would be usher to move the gun on Shabbos. That would be what we call Muksa Machmas Chasarn Kis, which is a different category of Muksa, which would mean, and I'm sure this scenario could come up, you're sitting there on your Shabbos Suda, and pun intended, after a few shots, you're sitting there with your friend, and you're like, you gotta see my new gun I got. So you go to your safe on Shabbos to show him your gun, because, yeah, that's really not permitted. Your gun in that scenario is Muksa Machlos Ksarin Kis. You don't usually handle it. And one would not be allowed to remove it from the safe on Shabbos just to show it off. Now, back to our case. Is it a Kli Shemalach Tola Isser or a Kli Shemalach Tola Heter? So there's a fascinating piece by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It appears very briefly in the Shmir Shabbos Holochasa footnote, which is on the bottom of your first sheet. But it's more clearly spelled out in the modern day Sefer, a newer Sefer, on Hilchas Shabbos called Orach HaShabbos. So over there, he says, for sure, using for Pikuach Nefesh, then it's a Kli Shemalach Tola Heter. Of course, in the situation of Pikuach Nefesh, it's mutter to use a gun, and that's Heter purposes. But even in a scenario where Pikuach Nefesh is not Shchiach, which is the way we defined our current state in America, so I left this off the sheets. This is the halacha that he has there in Samach Gimel. He says, Yesh omrim dahavi kli shemalach tola heter. Where Shlomo Zalman says, that's a kli shemalach tola heter. And if you look at that footnote, Pei Zion, he explains why. Hagon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Kosov, dahavi kli shemalach tola heter. That it's a kli of permitted use. And it's brought in the Shmir Shabbos Ol Chaso. Ah, so we'll have to talk about this. We'll see. Uchora af Pashtus, this, right, I should spell it out now. Pashtus, this idea is even in America. Because he's talking in a scenario where it's not Bikuach Nechash Shrecha. It's, you know, it's totally calm. We're not talking about, Israel. Even the situation which there's no right now Chash of Bikuach Nefesh. Chora Avid Nemen the Yashimish La Hisra, in the Nechash of Ikr Molach Toshal Kli. Okay, maybe it's better if I read it, say it outside first. He has an idea, very interesting chap. There's a usage of a gun to intimidate, to scare people. That's mutter on Shabbos. That's not an isser. You could use a gun for bang bang to shoot somebody. But a better usage of a gun is to intimidate people. That intimidation, that deterrent, is a heter. So thus, if Shlomo Zalman wants to argue that a gun is a kli shemalachta leheter, it's a kli, it's an object used for permitted use, and thus it would be mutter for one to carry it on Shabbos. You're using it to intimidate. Now, of course, that would only mean, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, that it'll be in a situation where people can see that you're carrying it. If it's, different shuls might have different policies. I don't know. People feel more comfortable, people with guns. I don't know. Yeah. Yes.
This automatically would lead to the question of whether or not he's allowed to carry the bullets with the gun, because if he's only showing the gun for status.
So I've heard people talk about this, and definitely sounds very strange. But people are arguing if Shlomo Zalman's heter is only because to scare people, so then, okay, that's a heter to carry the gun. What about the bullets? Now, to me, that sounds absurd. Right?
The shooting in California last week had four officers in that facility with their guns. They were off duty, but they were there with
yeah.
their guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Four officers.
Yeah. Okay. You're debating, right? Again, I don't want to touch the debate. Does it make sense to carry a gun or not? Are you going to fight back with your gun or not? I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is assuming it's the right halacha hashkafa to have a gun. Would it be mutter to carry it on Shabbos? So Shlomo Zalman is saying it's a kalish m'lachta leheter. And he doesn't distinguish between the gun and the bullets. He doesn't make that distinction. Now, for the record, I found on here was Shmuel Orbach, just passed away last year, Shlomo Zalman's son, himself was a great person, seemingly argue with his father. And his perspective was that no, it's a kli shemalachta l'isser. It's a kli which is primarily used for isser. His father said, you're using it for a gun, using it to intimidate. So he said, no. He says, where's the intimidation from? The intimidation is from the fact that you might fire it and shoot it. So that's part of the whole definition. The whole definition of a gun is because I'm going to shoot it. Bang, bang. So even if there's a deterrent factor, the deterrent factor is stemming from the isser that you might shoot and hurt somebody, kill somebody.
If you're carrying it as a deterrent, then you're using it as a heter. You're using it the heter. That goof that the user is using is the sarah goof for heter use.
Okay. I hear that argument, but I want to say that argument really with an additional argument. But hold on. We have this machlokas here, practical machlokas, and really it's not just Shmuel Orbach's argument, his father. There's a Chazon Ish also, seemingly, though I found it in Dirshu's Haaros, in the old edition of the Dirshu, and they updated it, and it disappeared. So I don't know who decided to take it down. But it seems like you have a machlokas here between, they call it, quote unquote, modern day poskim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach on one side, his son of Shmuel, perhaps the Chazon Ish, on the other side, whether a gun is a kli shemalachto leheter, which would allow you to carry it on Shabbos, or no, is it a kli shemalachto leisser, which really means pashtus, one should not be carrying it on Shabbos. Not so pashtus. And they're both giving svaris. Shlomo Zalman's svar is you're using it as a deterrent. Shmuel Orbach says no, it's used to kill people, it's used to fire. And the deterrent is from the fact that it fires. So that you should categorize that as a kli shemalachta leisser. I do, though, hear perhaps the argument back of Shlomo Zalman was suggested that, look, in this situation, I'm using it as a deterrent. And that alone, perhaps, can make it kli shemalachta leheter. But I think it's even a step further. I do think that the whole essence of a gun, really, in the definition of a gun, law enforcement, anyone who has guns, it's a last resort. You don't want to use it. So the whole idea of intimidation is built into the gun itself. Now, granted that intimidation might come from the fact that you could fire bullets, But that doesn't necessarily make it a klish machtal iser. A gun is made, rov tashmisho, is for the intimidation, is for the protection, not for the usage. So that is, I believe, could be the understanding of Shlomo Zalman, why I would say it's mutter. I'll tell you one other interesting thing before we debate this. Even the Chazon Ish, who said, don't shoot me, even the Chazon Ish, who said that it's prohibited in Israel, he gave a very good advice to Israeli soldiers, I guess, or people who carry guns, that, I guess, in a non-bikuach nefesh situation, he said, you could take your gun as long as you take with it tons of nuts. Not to shoot the nuts, to use it as a hammer, a nutcracker. So, the Chazon Ish recommended fill your pocket with bullets and the other pocket with, you know, with egozim, who knows? Really? Wow. Fascinating. That's a fascinating tidbit. Right? Maybe that was the Chazon Ish's design. Right? The Chazon Ish took his name off the Uzi, you know. But, yes. He was trying to argue, I assume, like, it's not spelled out clearly, but it sounds like he's arguing like a Shmuel Orbach, that it's hard to define it in terms of heter, is for intimidation, because the way you're intimidating is by having an object which could shoot. So that's what we call the iser, prohibited use of the object. So shouldn't that define the object as an iser object? Because even the permissible usage is through the iser side of it.
I thought the intimidation made it work.
Right, so those are two different opinions. And there is Shlomo Zalman, who says permitted, I think because he views the essence of guns itself as intimidation. That's part of a gun. Now you say a gun is to fire and shoot. Maybe you intimidate because you're firing and shooting. So how do you define that? Yes. Okay. We're running out of time. I have so many other things to talk about. Hold on. So that's all guns. So halacha l'maisa, it's a machlokas aposkim, whether a gun is klishim l'achta l'isr l'heter, which would be a debatable point if one could carry it on Shabbos in a situation where it's not shcheich hazeka, even if there's an eruv on Shabbos. Now, other things I'll just quickly go through. Let's say carrying mace or pepper spray. Now, again, those people who know what these objects are and know how to use them, right? Mace and pepper spray probably is more usable if a person would get mugged. Lavdavka, it's really usable in one of these situations, right? One of my kid told me in those situations, probably better to use a fire extinguisher. Shoot the guy with a fire extinguisher is actually pretty smart. It's a path in this. But mace and pepper spray in a situation where a person might need it, again, if not putting aside Erev issues and stuff, but those things would probably a klish machta leheter and would be allowed to carry on Shabbos. I hear. Money. Some people recommended, you know, a person gets mugged on Shabbos and people don't have money, so they're going to be upset. So maybe a person should carry money on Shabbos as something to give them. That's not so poshut. Posik I spoke to was not ready to give a heter to carry money. Money is 100% muksa on Shabbos. It's worse than a klish malach tol iser. I did hear of a situation of a person after they got violently mugged. A posik did give them a heter for a limited amount of time to carry money because they were traumatized by that. But that's a very limited heter in certain circumstances. But pashtos, not so simple to carry money. It would be better to have some watch or jewelry that you're okay with giving away in such a situation. Closed circuit television, right? If you have video cameras watching, so closed circuit television is actually a pretty smart idea. And that's something, which again, obviously is better if a shul has a security guard and someone to be on top of that versus a guy who's walking out of davening for that. But if there's no one else able to do it, it would be permitted for a person to monitor closed circuit television on Shabbos to see, you know, again, in the case where there is, you know, potential for threat, not even Shkiach HaZeka, suppose it said that would be something that's okay to just look at, if that's a means of protection. Finally, carrying cell phones. Pasha B'Shad, a cell phone is a kli shemalach tal iser. It's not mokzim machas chasar and kiss, because we play with it all the time. But a cell phone is a kli shemalach tal iser, which also simply would not be permitted to carry on Shabbos. Obviously, a solo person is different with a radio, a doctor. Those cases are different. But in simple scenarios, one would not be allowed to carry a cell phone. What probably we should have is there should be phones in shuls. In the world today, everything's cell phones. And Shabbos, you put away your cell phone. This posek told me that the recent one was asked multiple shilohs about security, different things. And he recommended, you know, he didn't allow for them to carry cell phones on Shabbos. But he says, why can't you just leave cell phones in strategic, leave phones in strategic spots, people to know about it, right? So in case Chas Hashem there is an incident, people could access it. I actually saw, I wasn't paid by this, but there's an Israeli security company that came out, is coming out right now with a fascinating, like, panic button type idea. Inside that they already have pre-orders from the whole Detroit community. The thing is cost like, $10,000. Whole fancy, complicated panic thing, which immediately alerts the police, but it also has live video cameras and sound so that the police could hear at the moment's notice what's going on on the scene and all detect them and give them, you know, live time reports of where everything is going on. Very smart idea that you just install on the wall and keep in shul a few different spots. So that would be an important thing. Yes? Hard enough. I remember this. Right. What Dr. Goldstein is talking about is a very important thing. Is a lot of times, and this is a perfect example, in fact, I could summarize with this. You know, when we deal with security, security is something that has to be on our radar, has to be something that's there, and, you know, we have to be prepared, chas v'shalom, for the worst. That's part of leadership, preparing a situation for the worst. And the example Dr. Goldstein brings up, you know, in a shul that might have been, you know, extra cautious of the dangers of a cell phone being interruptive to davening, which it is. But one measure that people might have taken is putting jammers, which would disable contact of usage of a cell phone around there. At the same time, that's quite dangerous. Because as we know, okay, you need, in cases of emergency, to be able to reach out. And the speed, halacha gives precedence. You could do something 2 seconds quicker one way, 100% you're Mechal Shabbos that way. Where seconds count, halacha does not, you know, take any back seat to anything. And preserving life is of utmost importance. So I think, you know, what we should walk away from today's share is, you know, unfortunately these are serious things to debate, serious things to consider. How do we improve the security of our institutions, our Jewish institutions, where we're in the world today, where they might be targets. We have to take the proper measures to prepare our institutions for the worst. But at the same time, we can't let the terrorists win. We can't live our lives different than we lived before. Everything should be through the prism, through the guidance of halacha. And Be'ez Hashem, the schos of us doing it, al pi halacha, should be the real schos for our Shabbos Shalom.